A Solve for Dark Times, Rave No Depression, when writing about Caleb Clowder and Reeve Wills. In these challenging times, need we say much more about these two soul singers of country music? Well, yes. The fact they're not to be missed is scheduled on the main stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, June 25th. And so you should be prepared to be enthralled by the duo's seamless harmonies. And, oh, yes, get out your dancing shoes. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be speaking with Caleb and Reeb. Thanks, guys, for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. So, let's go. Caleb, you once said, country music is our soul music. Please explain just what that equation means.
Yeah, country music. It's funny, as a young boy, I was writing songs, and I listened to Taj Mahal and Bob Marley and Marvin Gaye and all these different musicians that I consider soul singers, especially Bob Marley. And
yeah.
Even as a young person writing songs, not quite really knowing where I was going with music, because I wasn't, I didn't have a real strong direction as a young person, I was leaning towards country music and that sort of thing. And it was a place for me to sing my soul, share my soul, and like sing like those people who I thought were soul singers. And as I grew and I blossomed as a songwriter, country music became more and more at home to me. And it was a place where I get to share those same emotions that I was hearing as a young child in my music. So there's my soul music for you.
Thank you very, very much. So yeah. Reeb, why the title Gold in Your Pocket for your 2024 release? In other words, in these fractious, chilling times, talk about the positive message you two are putting out through the recordings tracks.
Yeah, Gold in Your Pocket is one of Caleb's songs. It's the title track of the album. And, you know, when you're trying to think of a title for an album, who knows what it should be? A lot of the time you throw around a lot of ideas. And that song title just seemed to fit the content of the album. You know, all the songs were written at different times. And as we collected more and more of them, we kind of realized there were some themes running through the collection of them all together. And, you know, there were some themes of love, some themes of kindness and stuff like that. And it just, that song title just seemed to fit what we were doing. I think Caleb has something to add.
Yes, I just wanted to add too that song, the nature of that chorus is really saying, you know, I'll be gold in your pocket, I'll be water in your well. Trying to be there for someone who might be struggling through the world, having hard times in places and in things, in day-to-day moments. But hey, lean on me, I'll be there to help support you. And a lot of our songs are talking about little bits and pieces of that same concept.
Great, thank you. So either one of you can answer the next question. How does place, namely your roots in Washington State, figure into your sound and your messaging?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we've been talking a lot lately about how being out here on the West Coast, there's kind of a different sound to our music out here. There's obviously a lot of influences from different musical traditions in the United States that have traveled out here. You know, loggers, miners, gold miners, fishermen, all the people that came out west from other places. And even here on the West Coast, there's a little melting pot of music that way. And
yeah, I think we're kind of a melting pot of music in a way too. You know, we've a lot of genres.
And with that, there just comes a lot of freedom in the kind of music you can create. And I think that's pretty important to how our music has developed.
Yeah, I think that us as musicians from the West Coast, I've always felt a little bit separate from Austin or Nashville and New York City, where there's like all these hotbeds of what music is. Even L.A., we're up here in the Northwest corner. So it feels like we're in this little, we kind of feel like we get ignored sometimes and we're in this special place. So maybe we work a little harder to have a little more pride in our place. And Reeb, you sing songs directly about your home, which is so beautifully put. It's such a special place. And she's so good at painting the picture of where she's from, which I think is really important.
You want to talk, Caleb?
Hey.
Caleb's got a couple new songs coming out that are about his home, too.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And again, either one of you on this, but I would like both of you to answer it. Please describe your separate paths to becoming working musicians. Was music making embedded in your early years, in your family? Had either of you ever considered a profession other than music making?
Well, I grew up on a farm in central Washington, and my dad and uncles were all musicians. They loved to play and sing old country music, Hank Williams, Merle Haggard, Roger Miller. My great-grandfather and great-uncles had fiddles and banjos in their house, and so music was definitely a part of our family. And when I was growing up, it was kind of all about the singing harmonies with each other. And I grew up hearing that stuff, and so, you know, I always loved music, and I couldn't imagine a better way to spend time together, you know, in the evening after work or at a family gathering. And when I went to college, I met other musicians that were playing old-time string band music, and mm-hmm. I just fell in with them and started playing guitar, rhythm guitar, and I loved it. I loved the community aspect, the social aspect of that music, and the fact that it was connected to dancing seemed important mm-hmm. and special. And so, you know, through all that, I never imagined myself being a professional musician. Just one thing led to another, and I think a love of music just leads you somewhere. And when I had the opportunity to play professionally for the first time, I left my job and I had to try it because I knew I would regret it if I didn't do it.
What was that job?
I was working on a farm that grew organic, open pollinated seeds. And mm-hmm. it was a really cool job. I loved it. And that's what I was doing before.
I think the rest of the world would have regretted it if you had not become a musician too.
Okay, Caleb, you answer the question now.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of mix and match from your question, but it wasn't really in my family too much. My dad played the trumpet, and he played in a Dixieland jazz band in college, but I never really heard him play in my life. I definitely tried to play his trumpet when I was 3 or 4, and I think I ruined my parents' record collection by trying to put the needle on the records when I was too young to do it because I was fascinated by music. I definitely had some bug in me early on. I wanted mm-hmm. to find it, and I was the first kid to raise my hand in grade school when they asked who wants to be in the middle school band. I had no idea what I'd play in the middle school band, but I raised my hand because I knew I wanted to play. And so mm-hmm. I think it was embedded in me. I just didn't quite know how and where to do it. So I slowly, you know, stuck with it and dug into it and played saxophone in band and started writing songs with my best friend when we were 13 and 14 because we thought it was cool to write songs. And then I moved on into college and I started playing the fiddle, which led me to the mandolin and on, just trying to discover something that really resonated with my soul, back to that soul singing. And so, you know, my childhood friend that I grew up with here on Orcas Island, he and I went to college in Oregon and we stuck together in different schools, but we were writing songs. So on the weekends we'd play gigs and we grew a band, and the band grew and got very successful, and we grew apart and the band broke up and on. And so like that musical career, just sort of like, there was nothing else I really, really, really wanted to do. I tried maybe to be an architect or a geologist in school, but that didn't really resonate. I couldn't focus. All I could focus on was singing and writing songs and maybe playing, you know, trying to play guitar better. I'm not a great guitar player, but I'm a good rhythm guitar player, but I really just wanted to sing and write songs and sing.
Mm-hmm.
That connection and that resonance with somebody else when you're singing. And then the way, again, you can put your soul out there in this music was all I needed.
Okay, thank you. So how and when did you two meet and decide to become a duo on and off the stage?
Caleb and I met at the Old Time Fiddle Contest, the National Old Time Fiddle Contest in Weezer, Idaho, which is a small town, dry and dusty, and a lot of people come from different music communities to camp out there in a hot, dusty field and pick for days. And my friends and I used to go down there every year, and Caleb and his friends used to go down there every year. We still do, actually. And one year, a mutual friend of ours introduced us, and we ended up singing together that day. And we liked singing together so much that we kept doing it whenever we would see each other at festivals throughout the year. So, you know, we were friends for a long time and had a musical chemistry that we knew we loved and just made a point of it.
Yeah. That first... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how long ago was that?
I think that was around 2008 or 9 or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. That first time we met, Reed was describing, but I was in a little jam session with my friends. I got up to step away for a moment. And in that moment that I got up and stepped away, Reed sat down and started singing a song. And it almost gave me whiplash because I'd never heard someone sing like a woman sing like that. That to me felt so much like the way I want to sing or I sing. It just flipped my head because I had never heard that voice. And I knew that I could sing with that person. And I was just enthralled. And we, like she said, we made a point to sing a few more songs, and then we'd meet up again in the year and we'd sing those songs and add 3 or 4 more. And eventually, our band that I was in, the Foghorn String Band, needed a rhythm guitar player, and I had lobbied to have Reeb join the band. And so that's when we really started playing together professionally, was with the Foghorn String Band. And simultaneously, and before that, I already had my own band doing more original stuff and more country music, and I knew that she would fit wonderfully in that project. And so sort of coincidentally, we just kind of started working in that band together. And that band has morphed into Caleb Clotter and Reeb Wilms. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you meet 08, 09, whatever exactly the date, whatever the date was. That's a while back. So over the course of your evolution, was there a white light or a seminal moment when you knew that you two were on the right path?
About 10 seconds after I'd heard her voice. No. I think, for me, I'll answer it quickly because I have the phone in my hand, but we communicated for about a year and a half, like I said, very distantly, and we'd see each other. Okay. And then Reeb was in Portland where I was living and visiting, and I remember sitting on the couch specifically singing a few songs, and we were recording them for the first time with an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And we went for a walk after we recorded 5 or 6 songs, and listening to them, the harmony and the ring and the tonality of the recording was, to me, so epic and perfect. I just knew absolutely that we could do it, and we should be singing together.
All right. Yeah. So you know you've made it when critical voices are comparing your act to Dave Rollins and Gillian Welsh, who, as you know, are going to help close Thursday night at the Bluegrass Festival. You've also been compared to Emmylou Harris and Graham Parsons. In what ways do those highfalutin compliments resonate with you both? And then, who and what else would you say are or were your mentors and muses?
Well, those highfalutin compliments are just that. It feels good to hear those words. Definitely, Emmylou and Graham and Dave and Gillian have been part of my musical listening for a long time. So it's exciting and also humbling. I don't know.
Absolutely. I don't think of myself as like them, although I can see the comparison, and so it's flattering as can be because they're people that we've admired for so long. I think, but I think it's a little, maybe almost a little bit sometimes scary because now you're like, okay, wait, are we? Do we have to be like them? No, we have to be like us. But there's that little back of your mind thing saying, you know, what does that mean now?
Yeah.
But I think if we just stay the course and stay focused on who we are and what we really love, that's really what matters, you know. I have some other, like, you know, mentors, like I mentioned, Bob Marley and Stanley Brothers, Carter Stanley, and, you know, Lucinda Williams, what a great singer. And the list just goes on and on for singers that I admire. That there's some modern singers that are way less known, Kelly Jones, that Haley Paxton, that sing, that are just these beautiful, soulful singers that I want to be like them, but no one else knows who they are, you know?
Okay. Reeve, do you have any names to name?
There's so many. I mean, when I was first getting into the music, I, like I said, listened to my dad and uncle sing a lot. So they're certainly mentors and muses to me, but all the country singers, Kitty Wells, the Carter family, Hazel Dickens, Alice Gerard, George Jones, Dolly. I don't know. I listened to so much old music when I was becoming a musician. And yeah, Stanley Brothers, Jimmy Martin.
Jimmy Martin. Good Lord.
I could go on, but and then there's lots of friends in the modern day singing that are such inspirations to me. My friend Devin Champlin.
Oof, yeah.
The Dead Vaughns. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a laundry list. So
yeah.
I get the picture. Final question. What are you both looking forward to most about your debut at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival?
Oh, wow. It's a huge musical community that we've been sort of looking in from the outside for a long, long time. I think we're part of it in little offshoot ways in other festivals, but it feels like the King Daddy Festival of all that community. So to be there in person feels really, really that's a huge compliment right there. So just being there and being part of it is one of the things that I look forward to. I look forward to hearing some of the other musical acts and maybe even the offstage picking that happens often with musicians behind the stage, behind the curtain. Some of that stuff is really, really sort of the most fulfilling to me. And I have to say, this is a relatively new band for us. We put together a bluegrass band, and we're trying some new material. We'll be bringing some brand new songs to the festival. I'm really excited to show those to the world and share our new album as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just excited to share our music with all those people.
Okay. I think that puts a period at the end of our sentences. This has been Susan Vibrock talking with Caleb Clowder and Reeve Wilms. They are debuting, on the main stage at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, June 21st. Thank you so much for your time, both of you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
So great.
You're welcome.